This is your Sunday morning wake-up call on WNRN. The wake-up call is brought to you by Tiger Fuel, serving the Charlottesville area with home heating oil and propane and famous Exxon gasoline. The wake-up call is also brought to you by The Hook, an innovative weekly from the people who really know the news on Newsstands Thursday. Now your host, Rick Moore.
Happy Valentine's Day, boys and girls. How's everybody doing? So glad to see you with us. Okay, well, we're celebrating Valentine's Day today. I realize it's the 17th. I'm not that idiot, but sometimes I can be. However, the 17th, we're going to do Valentine's Day. Got an interesting group here with us, and that includes all of you on the other end of my voice. Please write down the numbers. You're going to want to dial in, ask some questions, make some comments. 979-0919. 1-877-WNRN-ROCKS. We are going to do a Valentine's Day show today. We've got males and females, single, married, what else? A 25-year-old to 54 years old. So we're all rocking and rolling here. Let's introduce everyone. Let's see who's up on the far left. We have Jim.
Glad to be here. I'm the old timer in the group, 54 years old. Got married when I was 46, I think.
Jim, 54 and married. I have to write down some of these numbers and notes as I go along. In the middle, we have Sarah.
Hi, Rick.
And Sarah is 35.
Yes.
We don't have to get into that for the female, I suppose. And single.
In a committed relationship.
And one of the reasons that I asked you to be on the program was because, and we'll get into this throughout the hour as well, is your relationships have been typically committed. Longer relationships until whatever happens, and then your next relationship typically is a more long-term committed relationship as well, correct?
I would call it serially monogamous.
Serially monogamous. I like that phrase. And then over by the window, but a little too tall to escape if we get him all worked up at some point, is Eric. Eric, 25, you said?
Actually, I just turned 26.
Just turned 26.
But hanging
within the hour? Because then you tell me 25 out in the lobby?
Yeah, I keep forgetting it. Within the last week.
Okay. 26. Also single.
Been dating a young lady for about a little over a year.
But when you came to Charlottesville several years ago...
Totally single,
and did the dating scene here in the Charlottesville area.
Yeah, been doing the dating scene for a while.
All right. So that's our group for today. Obviously, I can't cover all. I really wanted to have someone in here, what's the proper phrase? I wanted to have a homosexual in the room to talk about what it's like to be gay in Charlottesville. And with that relationship and with that dating scene, I had hoped to have a young, 18, 19, 20, 22-year-old female in here to talk about that. So I need people on the other end of the radio airwaves to call in throughout the hour and give your opinions and your experiences, et cetera. 979-0919, 1-877, WNRN-ROCKS. All right, let's start right away. Easy question for all three. We'll start with the older folks first. That's how my parents always taught me. Definition of love, Jim. What is your definition of love?
Oh, man, that is a tough one. Maybe it's something that isn't all that easy to define. Somebody has said, and it maybe is a bit of a cliche, especially when it comes to being married, that it's not always a feeling, but, kind of a commitment and something that, you wake up every morning thinking about and trying to find a way to keep going and continue to work. But I tell you, Rick, I feel like when somebody starts to ask questions like that, or I hear people acting as if they know the answers to questions like that, I tend to want to run the other way.
Sarah? Do you have an answer for that?
Gulp. I would say that it has to do with being able to tolerate someone's idiosyncrasies.
Okay.
In a way that you still have a good time with them.
Okay, that's great. I like that answer. Eric?
It's probably pretty difficult for me to define. You know, in college, I always thought I loved my girlfriend I dated in college, but that was really just fueled by booze and, you know, substance abuse. But then the girl I'm with now, you know, I love her, but it's sort of overwhelming. It's more of like a just an at-peace sort of thing. But I'm probably a little too young to define that.
All right. I'm curious. One of the things that I remember reading, it's been a long time ago, but at the time, it really, really overwhelmed me. And I can't even remember the name of the book now, but it's Richard Bach. And it was something to do about soulmates. I'm curious, Eric, you're with someone that you have been with for a year or so, Sarah, in a committed relationship. Jim, married, but you said fairly late in life, when you were 46?
That's right.
Okay. So, and I want to get back to that as well. But do any or all or which of the three of you believes in soulmates? Is there just one? Ladies first today.
I would say that I definitely believe that soulmates exist, and I don't necessarily think that it has to be in a romantic situation at all.
What do you mean?
I think you can feel a complete connection with somebody that isn't necessarily a romantic love type thing. It can be just a certain chemistry you have with somebody. It can be a friend or someone you meet or whatever. It doesn't have to be someone you're interested in.
So a soulmate can be someone that you want to share things with, but not necessarily that gets you worked up in a romantic,
exactly.
In a romantic way. Eric?
I mean, it's difficult. You know,
by the way, calm down, because the entire program is full of difficult questions.
Well, the young lady I'm with now, I would say, is my soulmate in that she's rapidly become my best friend, you know, overshadowing the friendships I've had for 10 years or more. And we spend an inordinate amount of time together. You know, we make a long commute to be with one another. So, you know, as far as that goes, I think I've found my soulmate, if there is such a thing.
Jim, I mean, and I realize that each of the three of you most likely have the other person listening, right? So some of these questions, you know, that may play into your answer, and I think that's sort of like throwing that out there for everyone to know. But I'm curious, you know, soulmate, did you wait until you were 46 because you were looking for your soulmate and you found her?
Well, you know, I would say that is true. And, you know, as we were talking about before the show, you asked me why I did wait so long. And a really true story is that my sister-in-law asked me when I was going to get married when I was about 30. And I said, well, I'll wait till I find someone who will accept me pretty much the way I am. And she said, you're going to be waiting a long time. And it turned out that was true. But, you know, with regard to the soulmate question, I think Sarah is absolutely right that, you know, it can come in all sorts of ways. And love is a great thing, no matter how it plays itself out, whether it's romantic or not. And, you know, I probably shouldn't have waited to be on the radio to tell my wife this, but you know, it's just amazing how much you can love somebody and love somebody more as time goes by.
Can you have love at first sight, or is that just? And Eric, you said something about being in college and, you know, other things affecting how you feel for someone. But can you feel true love at first sight? We tried to define love to start the hour. If there's no alcohol involved, if there's no other instant abuses involved, is that a possibility, or is that just, you know, hey, he's good looking, wow, she's hot?
I think that love at first sight is something I would have prior to meeting this person said no. But you know, I was when the evening that we met, I was actually speaking on the phone to a girl I was dating here in Charlottesville, and I was at a party in Richmond, and I was looking at this girl, and my phone with the girl I was dating, I was like, my battery's dying. And just shut the phone and walked over to her because I was just drawn to her. So I think love at first sight can't exist.
Jim, tell me, and Sarah, I'm going to toss that question to you in a second. But Jim, you didn't get married until you were 46. When did you meet your wife?
Well, it was about 2 years before that. It was at a folk dance, as a matter of fact. And in a way, events kind of made the decision, put a deadline on the decision. She's not from this country, and she was going to have to decide whether she was going to stay in this country. So we didn't really have a lot of time to, you know, wait 3, 4, or 5 years or whatever it would have been.
But was it love at first sight, or was it just someone who you felt was interesting? Yeah, you know, I like this person. Hey, we're both into folk music, and I want somebody to go to the dance next week with. But, you know, let's go out to dinner beforehand, and then we'll go meet and, you know, take one car.
Well, you know, I wouldn't call it love at first sight in the same way maybe a younger person would. You know, there's a character in a Charles Dickens novel named Barkis in, David Copperfield. And Barkis is a middle-aged man, and he's interested in a woman who David Copperfield knows well. And he kind of lets David Copperfield sort of help create the relationship. He doesn't do anything too passionate. He just tells David Copperfield, just let her know that Barkis, his name is Barkis, just let her know that Barkis is willing. And I think I kind of walked into it a little more slowly than I might have when I was younger. And you know, I know this is going to really make me sound like an old man, but, you know, among the things that love means to me now are making sure that, for example, I've got enough life insurance if I kick the bucket so that my wife is going to be taken care of. You know, there's the passionate part, but there's also a lot of kind of caring and thinking about it from a different perspective.
Yeah, that sounds like the... I'm not first, you know, thinking about others before you think about yourself and what your wishes and needs are.
Well, I think, you know, you really have to think of the relationship in some ways as an entity in and of itself. In some ways, it's bigger than yourself. And, you know, nobody's perfect at that, and I'm not either. But I do think it helps to have that viewpoint.
Sarah, love at first sight, is that a possibility?
Absolutely. My last relationship, I spent 5 years with a guy that I fell in love with on first meeting him. Not a classically beautiful man. Definitely not my sort of general MO, but I almost fell out of my chair when I met him.
I'm curious, do certain things prevent anyone, and Sarah, we'll stick with you on this one first. Do certain things prevent you from... being not interested in someone? I mean, and I'm talking about early on, not as you go along and you find out, you mentioned idiosyncrasies and being okay with those, and that's part of love. But, you know, can you look at someone fairly early on and say, oh, wow, you know, that guy, I feel something when he's around. Oh, wait, he's getting into that car. Or, oh, you know, now that he stood up, I don't like what he's wearing. He's gone outside to smoke a cigarette. You know, where do you draw the line with that?
Well, fortunately, all the things that you just mentioned can be worked on, changed, or improved. Certain fundamental values, I think, where someone is not willing to change, like someone who is likes to hunt animals, that type of thing, different values like that, I think, are not as easily overlooked. So if you were wearing bad pants or you had a mullet or you were driving a Camaro, that's fine. We can work on all that.
Eric?
I have a tendency to be judgmental. So a lot of those first impression things can really break down whether you'd want to, you know, pursue that girl. And, you know, there's certain types that, you know, well, probably unfairly I'll group people into. You know, if it's a girl, you know, the tanorexic, you know, like maybe like a fake tan, you know, uber skinny. And
tanorexic?
It's like bleach blonde hair and things like that. That'll turn me off right away. Like you said, that sort of thing. And you said smoking, and smoking, you know, smoking while you're out at a bar or something might be one thing, but someone who's smoking constantly, or if you have to go on a long car ride with someone and they're smoking cigarettes or something like that, that'll... You know, that might drive, personally drive me away, even though, you know, it's a small thing. And I just tend to be a little bit judgmental with certain things.
I am too, and I would say the older I get, the less judgmental I am. But there are some things that are hard to overcome.
Jim, talk about that. aside from, you know, any point up until you got to meet your wife, I'd like to know about that, your things that you could and couldn't overcome with anyone else who you might have had a relationship with. But I'm also curious as to Sarah's comment about as you get older in life, where that's not as big a play.
Well, to your first question, you know, I'm thinking back, and there was a woman I was, this will show you how old I am, folks. There was a woman who, when I was in college, who I really, really was interested in until I found out she was going to vote for Nixon. And somehow that just changed everything. And then in terms of the, you know, being more open-minded, I think that, you know, I think in some ways you kind of get more like what you are, which is to say, if you tend to be open-minded, you may get more open-minded. But I notice, you know, like there are older people who get more and more closed-minded too, and they get crabbier. And my theory is that you sort of practice at being what you are until you get better and better at it. So if you have some open-minded tendencies or positive tendencies, I think there's a chance that they can actually become better.
So I have no shot. I'm just going to.
All right, 11:18 here on the Wake Up Call. We are talking about love, relationships, dating. Feel free to call us up, make your comments, ask your questions. You're welcome to participate in any question that I have asked or will be asking throughout the hour. We have Jim, we have Sarah, we have Eric here in the program today. Let me give you the weather. Markets of Tiger Fuel forecast for Central Virginia and the Shenandoah Valley. Cloudy with a chance of rain this afternoon. Highs 50 to 55, a little chillier in the valley. Showers are likely tonight. Lows 45 to 50 in Richmond, closer to 60. Chance of showers in the morning with some clouds tomorrow. Highs 55 to 60 in most of the listening area. A little warmer in the mid-60s in Richmond. Cloudy almost everywhere, you can hear me. 44 in the Valley, 39 in Lynchburg, 51 in Richmond, and just 39 here in Charlottesville.
You're listening to the Sunday Morning Wake Up Call, brought to you by The Hook and by the Markets of Tiger Fuel, a refreshing pause on your journey to anywhere with locations all over town. Now back to your host, Rick Moore.
Oh, if you're hungry, we want to thank 45fix.com. There's a simple way to find a contractor from kitchen and bathroom remodeling, house painting to decks and siding. It's 45fix.com. Immediate, no obligation estimates available anytime. That's the number 4, the number 5, and the word fix.com. And in case you're hungry, that's because I thought I picked up the 5 burgers, people. And we also want to thank Roy Huta, Brenda Clements-Jones, and Ann Evans for contributing to WNRN's fund drive this past fall. It's because of people like you that the Sunday Morning Wake Up Call is on the air. It's also because of program underwriters like the ones you hear this hour and Vivace and Freestyle. So stay tuned. Tell a friend about us. And don't go anywhere because the spring fun drive is not too far away. All right. We got Sarah. We got Eric. We got Jim. And we have all of you talking about love and relationships and all the important things as such. Sarah, can you be friends after a breakup?
Yes, absolutely. It might take a while, though.
But you have had past relationships where, you know, after that time period passed, you are still friends with that person?
Absolutely.
Friends in, at what level? I mean, where you can still call them up when, you know, you need to be bailed out of jail, when you want to go to dinner, you know, when you need somebody to come, you know, put your mail and papers in when you go out of town?
I would say that specifically the one previous to the past one I got out of, we're pretty good friends and we can talk about just about anything because there's enough time and distance between the time we spent together that, you know, we know each other pretty well and all the garbage that was involved is no longer a problem. My current past relationship, we're friends, but we certainly don't discuss things like current romantic involvements or that type of thing. It's more of a friendly, polite, not very deep friendship, I guess.
Okay. Eric?
I think it depends. I agree with Sarah in that you should have, I guess you'd call it a cooling off period. But it's really probably unique to the individual and the situation. I know that, like, the girl I dated back when I was in high school, we're good friends. We're really close. But the other people I've dated for any length of time, it hasn't worked so well. And, you know, it's kind of like steal a line from Cocktail, all things end badly, else they wouldn't end. So when, under those circumstances, you know, it's hard to be friends.
But I think that if you spent enough time with someone and you cared about them long enough, that there's a good reason to maintain a friendship with them. I mean, obviously, there were wonderful things that you cared about.
Jim, do you have that experience?
Well, I guess I'd have to echo mostly what Eric said and to some extent what Sarah said. My hope would be that you know, there could be a level of friendship, and there has been at times, but, you know, sometimes there just hasn't been. And I think it's actually pretty satisfying if you can get to that point where you do have a positive friendship. But I have to say, in the times when I've been able to achieve some of that, it hasn't been, you know, on a really deep, deep level.
All right, we do have a caller who sent in a message, didn't want to come on the air, from a teenager. My friends have particularly immature ideas of what love and relationships mean to them. How have your ideas of what a relationship should be changed as you've gotten older? Anybody want to jump into that? How have your ideas of what the relationship should be changed? Eric, we'll start with you.
You want to start with the youngest and go on up?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, you know, going back into high school, I had a pretty steady girlfriend all through high school. But your ideas of what a girlfriend should be are underdeveloped, you know, and you go to a different party and, you know, she kisses someone else or you kiss someone else. It's, you know, that's what high school is about, you know, bad lunch and infidelity. And then in college, you know, it's a lot of, I mean, at least my college experience, it's a lot of going out. There's a lot of parties. Your relationships could be more than just drunken interludes, you know, over a course of a few months. And then now post-college, looking for something more meaningful. And you learn to really sort of respect and not be quite as selfish and be a little bit more. I mean, being unselfish is what I've learned. You know, it's not all about you and what it looks like to your friends. It is more what I've learned in the time I've been growing up, I guess you'd say.
Sarah?
I think when you're younger, a lot of it is based on infatuation and appearance and popularity and that type of thing, and probably fueled by a little bit of alcohol.
Yeah, that's what I was saying.
And I think as you get older, obviously the friendship becomes more important. You know, sex takes on a different perspective, and at the end of the day, it's about who you want to spend your time with.
Jim?
Well, I'd say that the good news is that's true. You know, that there can be some maturity, but the bad news is that I think no matter how old you get, there's always an element of high school that just doesn't go away.
Tell me, I mean, give me an explanation of what you're talking about.
Well, you know, I think that when you're dealing with, you know, the romantic side of things, there's always kind of like a couple of plates in the air that you can't quite get a hold on and manage. And that I think that, you know, feelings that you don't really understand, you know, can still, you know, play a role in what's going on, and jealousy and stupidity. And, you know, I mean, I feel really lucky that I'm not in a situation that some of my friends who are my age or a little younger are in, and that is going out to bars and dating. And, you know, there's still some of the same things that, you know, that Eric, you're dealing with now, or even when you were younger. And it's, I think it's part of the thrill of romance that actually that stuff exists. And, you know, it's nice that there can be kind of a balance, but, you know, it's not always there.
All right, we are talking about the love and relationships, sort of our post-Valentine's Day show here on The Wake Up Call. We got Jim, he's 53. We got married
I'm
late
I'm
in life.
I'm liking that better. I was 54 15 minutes ago.
I don't know. See, that's why I have to write notes down. And Eric got older in between when the show started. Eric's 26, single. Sarah, 35, and single Everybody here is in some sort of committed relationship. So dial us up if you're still dating around town, because I'd love to ask a few questions about the dating in town. Now, Eric, you, when you came to Charlottesville, you were not seeing anyone.
No, I came to Charlottesville a few years back for a job. And when I came here, I really didn't know anyone in the city. I had a friend who was a fourth year at UVA, and we'd been friends from being younger. And I hung out with her a lot and her friends. And I, you know, hooked up with some of her friends and did like the UVA scene, which was more like an extension of my undergraduate experience. Going out to, you know, corner bars and still going to like Greek functions and things like that, which, you know, I just probably needed to grow out of. And then, you know, she graduated and moved on to go to law school. And, you know, I was left here not really knowing anyone. The environment which I work in, everyone is 30s, 40s, married, children, that kind of thing. So it wasn't exactly someone I would go out with on the weekends. So it was an interesting scene. Charlottesville's not particularly driven to a 24-year-old at the time, 24-year-old single person going out to meet people. It's really not driven towards that.
And it doesn't really get any better.
And you know, about a year after that, a roommate of mine from undergraduate finished his graduate school, took a job in Charlottesville. You know, he was excited about the prospects too, and he came from a city where he didn't really have any problem meeting people, and you know, committed relationships or not, and then came here and just found a dry well, really. It's a tough scene. It's really geared towards, I think, families. I mean, it's a beautiful area and it's a great community, but it's geared towards a lot of young couples, you know, families, professionals, that sort of thing.
Well, I'm curious. The phone's ringing, so see what this question or comment is.
Sure.
But I think that there are that there's plenty of people out there who would disagree with you because the university plays such a big role in the city. But I would agree that it's if you're not in school, mm-hmm. then you move on, and then there's this big gap as to what do you do.
Sure. Well, that's what I was saying. You know, when I first came here, it was an extension of the university, and that was fun. That was a lot of fun. But, you know, it wasn't. And then once that was gone, it was a completely different scene.
All right. I'm curious. does anybody, Sarah and Eric, I'll direct this to you. Certain dating rules. Actually, all right. Let's take this call first. Wayne, are you there?
Yes, sir. Good morning, Rick.
Good morning. We got Wayne from Chester. What you got for me?
Okay, going back just a few minutes, I was in the car there, didn't have the number, but I did want to comment on the Love at First Sight piece that we had there. May
sure.
I?
Yep.
Okay. Hey, you know, I'm not really sure I agree with the folks there or anyone else that called in. I think if we would all look a little closer at those relationships that we may call love, when it comes between a man and a woman for a spouse, I think what most folks are talking about there may be perhaps infatuation or lust or something like that. To say that it was love at first sight and with the hope of maybe, well, I could spend my life with that person and I'm committed to that person and I'm compatible with that person and, you know, I want to serve that person the rest of my life. I'm not sure if all that can be concluded across a bar or at a party or at a mall or anything like that. I'm just not sure about that, you know.
So you don't think that it's possible?
Well, we're calling it certainly can be interest and someone I want to contact, but maybe not necessarily love.
So your definition, Wayne, is that it can't exist because there's, you know, it's such a deep emotion that you have to wait a while to fully fulfill it or find that you can't fulfill it.
Right, right. And certainly saying, I'm not saying that that can't happen. Gosh, it's happened to many over the years. Most of us probably have an elderly person or hopefully elderly couple in our family who can, you know, give a testimony to that. Hey, we met and we got married a week later. We've been married for 61 years or whatever. That's very possible. But for the most part, I think what 99% of the time, what the speaker and the callers may be talking about is just old-fashioned lust. I think there's quite a difference, my friend.
All right, man. Thanks for the call.
Great, Rick. Thank you.
All right, 979-0919, 1-877-WNRN-ROCKS. If you want to participate, that was Wayne from Chester. Follow us up bring it in with your questions and comments. It's Jim, Eric, and Sarah as we talk about love and apparently lust, according to Wayne, dating, relationships, etc. Let me thank Blue Ridge Graphics for allowing us to be here today. You can find Blue Ridge Graphics at Meade Avenue and East High Street, serving Charlottesville with custom T-shirts, sportswear, and professional graphic design since 1979. That's Blue Ridge Graphics, 296-9746, and at brgtshirts.com. All right, back in action here with Jim and Sarah and Eric. Eric, I was asking you and Sarah, are there certain dating rules? And actually, you know what? I'm going to ask the female first, because you always hear. I mean, there was a book. I don't know how long ago it's been now, 10 years ago, about the rules of dating. Jim, you're nodding your head. Is that what that was called?
It's called the rules.
The rules. You know, you. But Sarah, do you? You know, you don't. Even if you like the guy, you won't kiss them until the second date or the third date. Or Eric, if you're interested, you have to wait 48 hours before you call them back. And that's the kind of thing I'm talking about. Ladies first.
I'm really, really bad at following rules, so I don't think that maybe I'm the best person to answer that question.
So I'm assuming that you mean in general, like if the rule is, you know, don't write on this piece of paper or keep off the grass, you do that anyway just because you don't like people telling you what to do?
Yes.
Okay. So you don't have any rules, or do you have rules that you try and keep even though you may not always keep them?
I think I follow my instinct, and if some guy's creepy, obviously I'm not going to call him back and I won't see him again. And if some guy's fantastic, I'm not going to refrain from giving him a goodnight smooch.
All right. Eric?
It's funny you said the call rule, because that's always a cliche and always a topic. You know, how long do you wait after you meet someone to call? You can't call right away. Can't call the next day. Got to wait 2 days. I don't know. I say just kind of throw it out the window and let it ride. You know, the rules, I really don't know if there are rules for dating. Just kind of throw it out there and play it as it goes.
All right. Would love to hear somebody else call me up and tell me what their rules are that they are pretty good about following. 979-0919, 1-877-WNRN-ROCKS.
You know, Rick, I actually leafed through that book.
Really?
Yeah, in Barnes & Noble. And what I think the rules were trying to impose through kind of a set of kind of regulations was a sense of self-respect that a person's supposed to have. And I realize you can't do that through rules, but for example, it was, don't accept a date if he calls you after Wednesday. You know, make yourself a little more unavailable, therefore you'll be more interesting to a guy. I think that's what they're trying to say, but also don't make it too easy for somebody else. And one of the reasons why I'm kind of jumping in here is my wife is from another country where people are actually more old-fashioned, and there were kind of rules that she followed. I don't think she was trying to play a game, though.
Just the family culture?
Yeah, things like that. You know, for example, on our first date, you know, I met her not at her place, but at a public place where we would, you know, sort of be on neutral ground. And, you know, I don't think she actually was trying to, like, play a game, but I think she just felt like this is the way it's supposed to be. And I think in our society now, people just, you know, it's kind of a free for all. And so it was kind of interesting to meet somebody who came from a different culture, who had values built into their culture, and they weren't necessarily mine, but they weren't bad either.
Well, I'm going to toss this out there and with the possibility of getting in trouble later, but you know, my rule or my, you know, self-imposed thought was that, you know, after the first date, really not much, you know, hopefully you had a good time. And my thing was to always give somebody, even if I really wasn't happy after the first date, was everyone deserves two chances. So if I was unhappy, two dates. And if both dates had been good, to give a kiss at the end of the, you know, evening or the end of the time period. And sometimes that works, and sometimes, you know, the person that I'm seeing now, when I gave her a kiss, that was like, whoa, hey, what are you doing there? I wasn't ready for that. So, you know, sometimes those rules, you know, it's like Sarah said, you have to be a little more going by instinct and less on whatever, you know, step one, step two, step three that you've set up in your head. So 11:36 here in the wake-up call. Call us up, play along with today's conversation about love and relationships and dating. Love to hear from you. It is Eric,
yep.
Question. Ready?
Sure.
Because this one's gonna fire up some conversation.
All right.
Now you're seeing someone.
Correct.
And you've been seeing her for a little over a year, I think you said.
That's right.
Have you had any other relationships that long?
None faithful.
Got it. Okay. Well, good, because that leads into this question. Is I'd like to talk a little bit about jealousy,
mm-hmm.
and whether certain things, whether there's actually anything going on that would lead to jealousy, but may cause jealousy for yourself or for someone else.
Okay.
So, what in particular makes you jealous? And I'm not talking about turning the corner, you know, or coming, you know, home to find out that your girlfriend is kissing someone else. I would think that would happen to most people.
Right.
You know, but are you upset if she has guy friends and you're like, who are you talking to? Are you talking to that guy that, you know, that that I think is a jerk, or that, you know, makes me nervous because I think he wants to be with you?
You know, most of that you can, I think on the front of it, you say it doesn't, but it deep inside it actually does. The girl I'm seeing has a lot of guy friends and I have a lot of girlfriends. And I think that, you know, it's natural to feel that twinge of jealousy, but you have to be rational and be like, you know what, you know, you have to step back and look at yourself. But yeah, there are certain things, you know, when she speaks to someone, but you know, I push it down and be cool with it. And over time, you just don't let that consume you. I guess is what you would say. But, you know, the last girl I dated was crazy. And, you know, if I had a girl call me and she saw it, my cell phone had different people's names, had code names all through my cell phone. So that way, you know, if this girl called, it had a different name or a guy's name. So that way I wouldn't get, like, craziness on
so
me.
So if Sarah called, it said Sammy?
Yeah.
Or Sam,
exactly,
or something like that?
Exactly. I had that, like, little system set up. She was crazy and stalker, you know, like, you know, want to log on, let me check your email and that kind of thing. And the girl I'm with now is not like that. And I think it's reciprocated. You know, you get someone who takes that attitude to you, you take it back to them. It's, you know, sort of, I think that you can be drawn in. You know, if the person you're dating is a very jealous person, it can kind of draw you in a little bit.
Jim?
Can you say that again?
All right. I want to talk about jealousy a little bit. And are there particular things? I mean, you've been married for 7 years?
Yeah.
Okay. But in terms of before you were married, and maybe even now, I would think it sounds like your conversation today is that, you know, you're very happy with where you are and there's little on the negative side there to even be concerned about. But before you got married, I mean, your sister told you it was going to be a long time. Did you have particular things that would set you off or would set off whoever you were with at the time into some sort of jealous emotion?
Well, I've been kind of lucky in that regard, I guess. I'm not really too much of a jealous type person. Although, on the other side of it, I did date somebody who I think was really certifiably crazy. And in fact, I ended up going to see a psychologist because I didn't know what to do about it. And he said, if you ever call her back, I'm going to put you in Western State. But this woman, I mean, it was almost kind of a stalker kind of situation. And the advice I got, you know, I'll give you $100 worth of advice to somebody in a similar situation. He said, don't call her back. Don't write her back. If you have any letters from her, throw them away. Just completely, like,
try to erase her from.
Yeah, and just don't do anything, because anything you do with a person that you really don't want to be with but gives her the the sense that you might, there might be an opening, you know, it just kind of feeds it.
All right, 11:41 here on the Wake Up Call. Sarah, don't get all excited. I'm going to come back and hit you up on that question as well.
You're listening to the Sunday Morning Wake Up Call, brought to you by the Markins of Tiger Fuel and by The Hook, an innovative weekly on newsstands every Thursday. Now here's Rick with what you can find in this week's Hook.
Oh, The Hook does the annual roundup of the silly-sounding pieces of proposed legislation from members in our Virginia General Assembly. And they wonder how the large number of proposed bills can get more than 2 minutes per piece average time for discussion. Local violinist Anne-Marie Calhoun discusses the month preceding her trip to the Grammys. And is there truly hope for those suffering from ALS, Lou Gehrig's disease? The Hook, washed, dried, and fully folded every week. And now, if you're hungry, go to Five Guys Burgers and Fries after I taunted you and teased you for 20 minutes. You can find Five Guys serving America's standard, fresh and handmade from 11 a.m. to 9 p.m., and they're open until 10 on Fridays and Saturdays. That's Five Guys Burgers and Fries behind the fountain in the Barracks Road Shopping Center, in the Hollymead Town Center, and on the Downtown Mall, all here in Charlottesville. On the web, it's fiveguys.com. Spell it, F-I-V-E, guys. .com. And Drew Thompson just walked in the room. He'll be here at noon with Les Temps Perdue. If French isn't your thing, it means the time's gone by. And on WNRN, that's late 80s through mid-90s alternative. At noon, Les Temps Perdue, brought to you in part by Plan 9 Music. All right, back with Jim and Sarah and Eric. As we talk about love and relationships, our Valentine's Day-related program. You're welcome to call up 979-0919, 1-877-WNRN-ROCKS, or just sit back and keep listening. All right, Sarah, we were talking about jealousy and what makes you jealous and what in relationships that you have and have had you've seen makes those guys jealous of something you've done or said or whatever.
Well, I can tell you that I think I speak for many females when I say that we would prefer our committed relationship, the other people on the other side of our committed relationships would get rid of their Playboy collections and possibly their swimsuit editions of the Sports Illustrated. That tends to get women a little bit riled up. As far as my past experience with men being jealous and what I've done to cause it, I don't think I've ever done anything to cause that kind of reaction.
No girl ever does.
Cricket, cricket, cricket.
No girl ever thinks she does.
Let me ask. She mentions, you know, the Playboy. Eric, do you think that that's an okay thing? If I don't know if you have any, or whether you have any Playboys, or maybe the Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue, which was mentioned as well, you know, has that been a problem for you?
No,
at any point?
No.
Do you think it affects your ability to find the woman that you want? Because what is out there culturally are these, you know,
airbrushed.
Airbrushed. Unreachable women, falsified.
Well, you know, unreachable. You know,
maybe not for you, but
no,
for me.
It's somewhat a poignant question because you know my girlfriend's at my apartment now, and you know, sitting there on in the bathroom are a stack of Playboys, and it, you know,
gross.
We've got into. It's funny you say that. She borrowed my laptop when hers crapped out, and you know, pops it on, and there's something of a questionable nature. You know,
but you got like Jessica Alba as your, you know.
Sure. That's a little PG of it. But yeah. But she jokingly eggs me on, and she probably would like it if I would terminate that part of me. But she doesn't get jealous over it.
I'd love for her to call in, by the way. And 979-0919. I promise I won't get into any more personal questions about that. But 979-0919, if you are listening, love for you to call in, and I'd like to get the female, and we have Sarah here, we have one female speaking for everyone, and I think a lot of that is, you know, is great, but I'd love for someone to call up and say, you know what, darn it, she's right. That really drives me nuts, and, you know, I want them out of here, or I made him get them out of here, or, you know what, I don't care, whatever. They don't bother me. I'd like to, I'd love for a female to call up and toss in her opinion on that. And, Eric, if your girlfriend's listening, I'd love for that to happen. 979-0919. 1-877-WNRN-ROCKS. Jim, did you have any, you know, have you experienced that at any point?
Well, I guess I'll mention a work situation where, you know, and I'll tell you, as a guy, it's hard to get your mind around this because I used to visit a website called thedailybikini.com. It's a PG website. And, you know, I have two female coworkers, and they would look at this like it was like I was committing a crime. And I'm thinking, well, this stuff is on television. It's in magazine ads. I mean, it's not like I'm going to try to go out with this person. It's just I'm just looking.
Why are you looking at it at work?
Let's say you were walking at it at home. I mean, you know, whatever.
Listen, I'm going to do a lot of stupid things. I'm not going to admit to looking at it at home. I'm already in trouble now at work, but what was the question?
Well, I'm curious as to whether or not that had ever gotten you into trouble. You know, whether having the Playboy made your girlfriend jealous at the time. You know, to be married now, have you had to cut off your Sports Illustrated? Cut off your Sports Illustrated subscription, or I believe that you can go in there now and say, I don't want to stop my subscription, but I don't want to get the Sports Illustrated swimsuit edition. Has that been an issue for you?
Well, you know, it hasn't been an issue, and it isn't because I don't kind of look at something now and then, but, you know, I was once listening to a golfer talk about his philosophy of playing golf, and he put it in one sentence, don't do anything stupid. And, you know, I'd say that that's kind of the way I try to handle it at home.
Got it. All right. We do have Eric's girlfriend did call. So, Eric, you better sit back quietly and just behave. Hey, how are you?
Good. How are you?
Oh, thank you so much for calling in.
No problem.
I'd like to get your opinion on, you know, the Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue, the Playboy editions. You know, do they really upset you? Do they make you jealous in even a small way? Tell me a little bit about it.
I don't really think it's that big of a deal. I think it's kind of gross. I mean, I think it's really
in
messy.
In a small way.
But, you know, boys will be boys, and there's nothing. I'm not going to, you know, say he can't look at it.
So does it, you know, you say that it's gross, but that boys will be boys, so, you know, where do you define the jealousy part in there? When the new issue arrives, does that upset you in some way?
I mean, it doesn't really upset me. I mean, I'm guilty of looking at it, too, not in a... I mean, I don't look at it because I...
You're reading the articles.
I just kind of get a kick out of it. I'm like, I can't believe that. I mean, what... In a swimsuit, I can see Playboy because they're naked and stuff, but in a swimsuit... magazine. I mean, really? Is it that? Does it really turn you on that much? I don't know. The Playboy, oh, that whole thing, it's, as Eric has said before, it's art. So, so you know, we'll leave it at that.
I may try that one day and see if that works.
It will not.
All right. Thank you so much for calling in. I really appreciate the second female viewpoint on that.
No problem.
Have a great day.
Bye.
All right, 11:50 here on the wake-up call. Eric, mm-hmm. Eric's girlfriend, Sarah, Jim, as we're here talking about love and relationships, et cetera. You're welcome to dial us up and make your own comments or ask a question. I want to thank Blue Ridge Mountain Sports for allowing us to be here for the hour. Blue Ridge has gear for keeping you warm outside on the way to work or class or also on the trail. The Blue Ridge staff can recommend the hat, pair of gloves, or jacket, including the Windstopper fleece from the North Face that'll let you enjoy the outdoors anytime. You'll find Blue Ridge Mountain Sports in the Barracks Road Shopping Center here in Charlottesville. They're at the Mountain Inn in Wintergreen or at brms.com. All right, a little bit of time left. Ring it in if you want to be with us, Jim and Eric and Sarah. I'm curious, do nice guys finish last?
You know, I think that,
Jim, because you didn't you didn't get married until you were 46.
I'm not that nice a guy. you know, I think what happens, you know, guys say that they get walked on or something by if they're too nice. But you know what I really think is that kind of stupid guys finish last. I mean, if you've got to have enough self-regard and self-respect so that, you know, you're not the kind of person somebody would mistreat and not allow it if they tried to. And I think that, you know, that this idea that you can't be a nice person and still do well is just not true. I think it's guys sometimes present themselves as nice guys when the truth of the matter is really all they're trying to do is, you know, get into somebody's pants. I mean, so, and when they don't, they say, well, you know, nice guys don't finish well. But I think it's just, you know, it's a tactic sometimes. And, you know, I'm not buying it.
So a lot of my married friends claim that they're married to nice guys, and they always say that that's the best way to end up. The luckiest you can get is to end up with a nice guy.
Okay. So that's the last guy. Women may date mean guys or the ones where you go, God, why is she with him?
Right. You get it out of your system and then you end up with the good one.
Okay. Eric?
I think younger girls like the jerk, like the cocky jerk guy. You know, especially.
And how old is your girlfriend?
Danielle's 21. She'll be 22.
So she's young, and so she's getting this out of her system now?
I hope it's out of her system. No, but I think that when you're that age, and she, you know, if she was still on the line, she would. We've talked about this before, because the way I acted as an undergraduate student, and the guys that she was attracted to initially were like the cocky jerk guys. But I think once you get a little bit more mature, girls grow up a little bit, and they realize that act or that facade is really just that, and it's not going to lead to anything meaningful.
Sarah, I'm curious, have you played the same role in all your relationships?
Female?
Fair enough. I meant more, have you been, are you always the, what did I saw, I put this down last night because I saw something that made me think of who was the, and dominant makes it sound like someplace I don't want to go, but are you the, is the relationship always half and half for you?
Of course.
That cheesy smile, like, I don't know that I want to answer that.
I think it depends on the relationship.
Okay. Let's see. I got a list here. I'm just going to toss out some questions to each of you. Sarah, you said this earlier. Jim, I'm going to throw this one at you. Can you change your partner to be the person that you want? Sarah said we were talking about car that was driven or clothes that were worn, et cetera, and those are things that can be changed. Is that true?
Well, I mean, yeah, the car kind of thing can be changed, but the kind of person, I think you have to decide pretty early on whether you're going to accept the person as that person is. And because just forget about trying to change somebody. Think how hard it is to change yourself, even when you want to.
Yeah, but I think when you love somebody and you're in love, the whole idea is both of you want to improve yourselves for the other.
Eric, do you agree with that?
Well, I think that you're both right. I think that essentially you're not. I think that to try to change someone's essential personality is a mistake. But, you know, there's certain things you can improve upon. You know, the material things like you said, or if you need them to be pick up after themselves more, or do the dishes more, you know, that kind of thing. Yeah, you can improve. But I think that to want to change the person, be like, yeah, I'm going to get in this relationship with him, and I'm going to change the guy he is and change his essential values, I think that's a mistake. I don't think you can do
Eric,
that.
Eric, you mentioned that the two of you. I think you said you have some distance.
Yeah. She lives in, I didn't meet her in Charlottesville. That's one of the things. You know, I never met really anyone in Charlottesville. You know, had dated some people here and there, but we met in Richmond. She lives in Richmond.
How does, and I guess you've been together for a year, so that kind of gives me the answer, but I'm curious as to long distance and, telephone style relationships. And
yeah. The telephone's a beating. I mean, we both know that, but we're working towards a point when she graduates that she's probably going to relocate to this area. And, you know, we've been doing that trek up and down 64 basically almost every other weekend.
Oh, and it's so exciting.
Oh, yeah, it's a beating. But, you know, we've made that sacrifice because of, I guess you would say, the feelings that we have. We're willing to deal with the gas prices and, you know, with the trek up and down 64 and that boring ride.
All right. Jim, you're not do relationships working together, do you know anything about those? You ever had a relationship where you work with that person or near that person?
My wife and I, you know, we both work at the university. We commute together. We don't work together in that sense, but we have had a business together.
Yes. So how does that go over? I mean, was that more of a challenge, or did that make things more fun and easier because you were there side by side for so much?
Some of both, honestly. I'd say, you know, I think it's hard. I think that, you know, the stresses that you have in a relationship and the stresses you have at work are kind of really amplified when you are married to the person you're working with. And we actually kind of cut back on our business in part because we didn't want to take all the money we were making and use it on a divorce attorney.
All right, 11:57 on the wake-up call. WNRN Charlottesville and WNRS-FM, Sweetbriar, Amherst, Lynchburg. Finishing up our hour on Valentine's Day, love and relationships, etc. Drew Thompson in just another couple minutes. He'll be taking requests for Les Temps Perdue. Sarah, how important is the acceptance of your, you know, boyfriend, your partner, to friends and family?
It's extremely important, because I think that if anything's going to work, your family and friends need to support that relationship. I mean, that's part of marriage, is you getting the whole package, and it's that much of a commitment.
Jim, Eric, have either of you, you know, ever run into that issue where,
yeah,
you know, your mom didn't like that girl, or, you know, or Jim, because your wife had to stay here, right? You know, is that put a problem on things? Eric, go ahead.
Well, you know, it means a lot. And I think the family thing depends on how close you are to your family. And my family absolutely adores the girl I'm seeing now, as my friends do. They think she's wonderful. Girl I dated before, my friends told me time and time again for as long as I dated her, that she was not for me, that she was crazy, all these things. And I never opened my ears to it. And really, those are the people with the outside, probably most objective opinion. And, you know, if you value their opinion about everything else, why wouldn't you evaluate about the most important thing in your life?
Jim?
I'm going to agree with Eric. I think your friends and also Sarah, your friends and your family really know you. And they're not always right about these things, but I'd listen to their opinions pretty closely.
All right, time to finish up. Everyone, I want to say hi to those that they love.
Thank you for calling.
I love you, Rick.
And, you know, I'm really grateful for my beautiful wife, and I'm really glad to be able to say that on the air.
All right, thank you so much for coming in. Next week, we will be doing our annual show on the Oscars. Adios.
This has been your Sunday morning wake-up call on WNRN. The wake-up call is brought to you by The Hook, an innovative weekly from the people who really know the news, on Newsstands Thursday. And by Tiger Fuel, serving the Charlottesville area with home heating oil and propane, Exxon gasoline, and the markets of Tiger Fuel. Views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of the management, staff, or board of WNRN. You can contact Rick at abstractme@aol.com or at wnrn.org. The wake-up call is produced by Michael Strickland. Tune in again next Sunday morning at 11 for the wake-up call, only on WNRN.